Let's pray, and then we will sing a song or two. Let's go dry and fire. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this new day. Thank you for life and health and strength. Thank you, Lord, that even with the cold and the wet outside, we've still got the heat and the light and the dry inside. And thank you, Lord, for all the work that we were able to do that keeps it that way. And I pray you, Father, please, we miss Norman this morning. I pray that you would, Lord, help him get over that chest infection. That you would continue to help Brother Steve as he recovers from his heart problems and Papa's hamstring. I pray for Lynn, for Frank as well. He's not well either. I pray for him and for Dr. Shannon. For Christine and Mary Ann, for Colin, wherever it is that he is, Lord. I pray you for your good hand upon all of your children, Lord. You know what each one of us needs. Do we need a comforting, a strengthening? Do we need wisdom? Do we need a chastening? Do we need just pointed in the right direction? Lord, please supply our bread this day and daily bread. And I pray you, Lord, for the folks in the street, for the folks up in Altagelvin and in Drumahoe, for all of the souls, Lord, that we have shared a portion of the gospel with, that have heard the gospel, for all those that have received a wee leaflet, heard a word, or got a Bible, or, Lord, please, I pray you, take this time in these last of the last days to greatly convert, and not just our fellow countrymen, Lord, but the people that are running our countries. I pray you, Lord, please, for those that are involved in financial institutions, I pray you, Lord, that you would give them the wisdom and the desire to do the right thing. I pray you for those that are involved in the Russia and Ukrainian war, that you would, please, Lord, that you would save the lives and souls of the many soldiers that have been put into that, and that you would lay the weight of consequences of actions upon those that have made it happen. I pray you, Father, please, that you would still be seen to be a great and a wonderful and a mighty God. And I pray you, Father, for the strength to, and the wherewithal to do what it is you want for us to do. Just love you and thank you. Pray that you'd be one of our number this morning. That you would bless us and just be, keep us company, Lord. Put your arm, put your hand upon each one. We love you and thank you. We ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Let's start with this blessed old book. Hymn number 2 in the wee black book. This blessed old book. We'll remain seated for this.
When I think what it cost us to hold it.
All right, we're going to move to the big book. I'd like to take it and turn to... we'll do 196. 196. And we will put our vocal cords to the test as we sing the wondrous story. 196. Then we'll give you a break for a moment or two as we have our Bible reading. 196. Psalm 111, 12, and 13. This is our Bible reading this morning. Amen. If it's too much for you, I'll be happy to relinquish the job back to Norman's tender mercies whenever he's back in form again. But in the meantime, just pray for Norman. It's not like him to be out of commission, but he has a chest infection going on. Please pray for him. Don't forget Steve as well. Monica's mother too. And please do pray for Marianne and my dad, Pearl, Alan. And there's lots of folks to pray for. Psalm 111, 112 and 113. If you get to 111, 112 and 13 are easy to find. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honourable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath shown his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding of all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth, the generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. Good man showeth favour and lendeth, he will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever, the righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings, his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established, he shall not be afraid, until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honour. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set them with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house, and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. Don't know if you noticed, but each one of those psalms started with praise ye the Lord. Amen. And so we should. Righty, God bless you. Just want to remind everybody to make sure they get one of those little prayer lists. It's dated the 5th and the 12th, which means it's going to be replaced, the Lord willing, next weekend. But please do at least once in the week read through each one of those. On top of all of the prayer lists or prayer entries that are there, do please give a moment or two to Edith, Norman's brother or sister. Sorry. Also remember Frank at this time. He's got some flu, I think, lingers same this morning. Norman's out of commission with the flu. Please pray for him as well. Please pray for those that are sick, that we mentioned earlier on. And don't forget to pray for each other. On top of all of those, the Word of God says we're to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We're to pray for the Jews and to be a good testimony and a good friend to the Jewish people. But to anybody, always, always be a good person. Can't think of anything else. Anybody got anything else they'd like to add? Yes, Mr. Bradford.
When Benedict of Rothenstruth was arrested again for quiet prayer in front of the abortion clinic, even though she'd been cleared of any wrong, and it was closed when she was praying silently.
These are the days that we live in. Make sure that you are ready to face the world. Walk with the Lord, and a lot of what's going on in the world will just run right off of you. Please do pray for that wee woman, Isabel. What do you call her? What's her full name?
Vaughan Spruce.
Vaughan Spruce, V-A-U-G-H-A-N.
Uh-huh. It's on the prayer list in the countries.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
There it is. Plenty going on. I just want to, I've already shared with Will this morning, but we had a phone call from wee woman Doris Breeden yesterday from the area that we were tracking in. She rang up to say she was very pleased to get a leaflet and it was a help and an encouragement to her, and that she wanted us to know that it did help. And I think pretty much that we shouldn't stop, that we should keep going. So please do pray for the leaflet. Sometimes it seems like there's not a lot happening, but I liken it sometimes to the police. Whenever they walk about, sometimes even just them walking there stops a lot of bother. As long as people have the, oh, the police are there, I've got to be in my best behavior. If they're reminded of the gospel, if they're reminded there's a God, maybe they will consider him themselves and the salvation. Please do remember that. If there's nothing else, Will, would you lead us in a word of prayer? Let's pray.
Dear Father, thank this day, Lord, and thank for everything you've given us and everything is from you, Father. You love us so, you love us so much that you sent your Son down to cross for us, and it's a free gift of salvation by the asks of Jesus. And thank you for the grace which you give liberally and your wisdom as well, Lord. Give us some wisdom, Lord, and Lord, may we know more about thee and know more about thy will, and apply it. Use this word to apply it in our hearts as well, Lord. And we also remember our grandma, we thank you for healing, give him back his feet again as well, Lord. And Norman as well, give him back his feet as well, Lord. We have called wherever he is, give him safe and well, Lord. God, we push him up clean, protect him, keep him safe and well, Lord. God, bring him back safe and secure, back to Ireland as well. Save Stephen, Carl, and John, Lord. We also pray for Caitlin and the Bonner family. We save them and draw Caitlin back to you. Back to you as well, Lord, and save us, soul, Lord. My Lord, Pat and Steve, Lord, heal Steve, Lord, give him strength, Lord, give him buckler and give him strength, Lord, and bomb up as well, help him with his health and mission, Lord. Griff, also give respite and care and rest to Pat as well as he's supports and cares for Steve as well, Lord. Griff, this day, Lord, and Griff, the people that were not be having yesterday, and all the areas of Toy Alley and Currier, and all the places up in the tracks worked out to you, Lord. We still use that there as a way to question people, to put a question people's hearts and their minds and their souls, Lord, that there is a God, Lord, and Lord, I love us so much, Lord, that you're willing to give them a message, Lord, of I love, Lord, and see souls saved, mighty and powerfully. Not for our sakes, Lord, but for thy glory and for thy honour and for thy witness, Lord, and for the manifold blessings as well that you give to us, Lord. Bless us today, Lord, give Mark a much of his spirit, Lord, and help us and prepare our hearts, Lord, and may be able to receive the message, Lord, and direct it and use it in our lives. And bless us as we start a new week, Lord, May you be at the forefront of us, well, Lord, for Jesus Christ again.
Amen. Thanks, Lord. Let's take our hymn books again, if you would, and turn to 283. 283, if you're able also, we'll stand as we sing, Have You Any Room for Jesus? 283.
Thank you.
Read about 10 verses of this portion of God's Word, starting at verse number 1, 1 Kings chapter 9, beginning at verse number 1. And I would have a few thoughts on the title. I think maybe they were framed a little bit by my reading in the book of James at the moment and studying there. The title that I have is Still Just a Man. I'd like to spend a little bit of time even thinking on the subject of God not being any respecter of persons, but still just a man. It is absolutely amazing how that Old and New Testament, the Lord is still bringing us the same message and still offering the same salvation. And this, in the light of the book of James, was what came to mind as I was reading this portion of God's Word too. 1 Kings chapter 9, the first 9 verses go something like this. And it came to pass, when Solomon finished building the house of the Lord, and the king's house, and all Solomon's desire which he was pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time, as he had appeared unto him at Gibeon. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication, that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built, to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And if thou walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I commanded thee, and both keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, There shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. But if ye shall at all turn from following me, ye or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight. And Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people, and at this house which is high, every one that passeth by it shall be astonished, and shall hiss, and they shall say, Why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and to this house? And they shall answer, Because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have taken hold upon other gods, and have worshipped them and served them. Therefore hath the Lord brought upon them all this evil. Amen. That is our reading for this morning, our text as well. Title is Still Just a Man, but we're speaking about God being no respecter of persons. Let's pray briefly. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for the freedom that we still have to lift up prayers out loud, to come into the holiest, Lord, and just beg your attention, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you would be one of our number this morning. Not just ours, but those that are stuck at home, Lord, not well. And all those, your children, that are gathering together to hear your word, and those that would be your children too, Father. For those that are under great conviction, I pray, Father, please put the pieces together in their hearts and minds. Help them, Lord, to fix their eyes upon you. Please give us wisdom and understanding as we look at this portion of your word. And Lord, we love you and thank you. I know we'll never truly appreciate all that you have done for us, but thank you, Lord. From our limited point of view and understanding, thank you, Lord, for loving us and saving us. We ask all of this, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. 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 I don't know about you, but I love to read. Maybe it's when we want things to go well for ourselves. But I love to read about the promises that God makes to his people, to his children. We see at this particular point that even the fact that Solomon is having this conversation with God, and God has appeared to Solomon again, that this is a fulfillment of the prophecy that he gave to King David to have his son upon the throne of Israel. And we know that things started to go wrong a little bit after this in the days of Solomon's son, but I love to read about the promises of God. He made them to Moses, he made them to Noah, he even made them to Adam and Eve. He made them to anybody, everybody that would come to him, that would obey him. And it pretty much goes exactly the same as it goes here to Solomon. Bear in mind, Solomon is the wisest man that has ever graced the face of the earth. And God wants to bless him. He says, however, there is a proviso. And a lot of people don't like the proviso. The caveat or the condition is, and for anybody that has ever written a computer program, whenever you see an if, you know there's a conditional statement coming. If you do things my way, I'll bless you. He says, if you tithe to me, I will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you. So it'll be so big, it'll not be too much for you, but it'll be more than you'll be able to receive. If you obey my statutes and commandments, I will give you the victory over all the interlopers, he said to the children of Israel as they moved into the promised land. And we know how that went. But all the way through the whole of recorded history, you may think as you get on into the New Testament that God reneged on a lot of his blessings, because how many people lived shortened lives because they trusted in God? I can guarantee you this one thing, that not one of them ever regrets a single word they ever spoke for God or a single word that they ever did for God. But I love to hear about the blessings. In fact, the Lord God, whenever he walked with us just over 2,000 years ago, or around about 2,000 years ago, this is what he said about our Heavenly Father's intentions towards us. In Matthew 7, he said, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts to his children, to them that ask him? It couldn't be simpler. It's like really straightforward. It's just like any mother or father in this world. Do things my way or you'll be punished. What is it they say now? You'll go and sit on the naughty step. Or maybe 30 or 40 years ago, you get your behind tanned. Or sometimes it was like running a gauntlet. I remember at least once, parents standing at the door, and me and maybe two wee brothers and sister being called in. And you never wanted to be the first one, because the first one was going to get a smack. The second one, and maybe the third one, would get passed whenever mummy or daddy was swinging back the wooden spoon of the slipper. But whenever we did what mum and dad asked us to do, we would get a blessing. We would get a little bit of extra pocket money now. Would you go and wash the car? Never liked it. Glad I learned how to do it. Would you hoover the car as well? I hated that even more, but I'm glad I learned how to do it. Don't forget the wheels. Oh no. Would you cut the grass? Back in days of yore, would you paint the window frames before everything turned to plastic? Except the windows in my porch. Am I glad I learned how to paint window frames? And you would get a blessing, a help. We were too little then to understand that it gave our parents joy to do those things. We understood the pocket money. Or we understood, maybe I'll bake you an apple tart, all of your own. And I used to love my mother whenever she was baking the apple tarts. Sometimes there'd be a little bit of pastry left over, not enough for a tart, but enough for a big apple turnover, which was mine. I loved that. And whenever I was in my mum's good graces, it was no problem to her to give me that. And it's the same with God. The Word of God tells us over and over, especially in Romans chapter 1, that the invisible things of Him are clearly seen through the creation of the world. And that relationship is there for us as little children that don't know God, so that as people that grow as souls that look for God, we can understand that there is that relationship between God and His children. God said, what did He say? If you will walk, basically, if you will do what I ask you to do, if you will do what my word has recorded for you to do, I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever. Like, that's no small feat. In other words, if you do all of these things, if you set a good example in your home, if your children see me working in your life and they choose to do that as well, the kingdom will go on and on and on and on. You would think the smart thing to do would be to listen to the person who knows what's coming round the corner, so that whenever he tells you to step out of the way, you don't get run over, you don't get poked with something, or you don't get smashed with something that's coming round the corner. And the corner is not a street corner, but it is tomorrow. And a lot of people are still, they're living life on a wing and a prayer, but they're not even. They're living it, they're winging it. There's no prayer anymore. And this is a doctrine, a teaching. There's no respecter of persons. Any man that obeys me, I'll bless him. That is carried from prophet to judge to king to prince, again to the prophets, and to paupers, to Joe Public. Listen to me and do things my way, and things will be so much easier on you. I don't mean to say the world is going to come and love you and pat you on the back and thank you for every time that you remind them that they're doing something wrong. But for you personally, a closer walk with God is a good thing for every man. And even in the New Testament, a verse of scripture that's so popular that the first part of it is passed into common usage, popular use. It says in Romans 8 that we know that all things will work together for good. And most people stop there. They forget the meat of the sandwich. All things work together for good to them that love God, in other words, the saved souls, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Everything will work out for the best for saved souls that are doing what God asks them to do. It doesn't work out for the best any other way. And one of the things that God asks us to do, all of the things that God asks us to do are well within our ability to accomplish, are well within our ability when we're walking with God to accomplish. And again, many times the Lord says, as He asks us to do what He asks us to do, He says, my commandments are not grievous. The things that I ask you to do, yes, are thrilling. They might even put a quiver in your voice or a shake or quake in your knees. But when you fix your eyes upon Jesus and do them, the rewards are out of this world. The Lord goes on to say, if you don't do what I ask you to do, especially in cases like this, whenever people were lifted up, when whole countries were lifted up, when men, certain men, were set high above everybody else to be an example, God said, if you don't do what I ask you to do, I am not going to continue to bless you. More so than that, you will find that my blessings are removed from you. The things that set you up will be removed and you will fall. The things that made you wise will be taken away and you will make a fool of yourself. The peace, the fear that I put into your enemies, that you walked and talked with me and the very angels of heaven would take up the sword against them, that will be gone and the peace will be gone and your enemies will rush in on every side. Not only that, and he said it on one other occasion, I'll come after you. It's not just that I will remove my blessings. I'll become your enemy. I will chasten you. And chasten you. And I will chasten you. I will humiliate you until you learn your lesson. And that's just the way it will be. But if you learn your lesson and come back to me, you will be reinstated in my good graces. And I know that sounds very robotic. And it sounds very, oh, God just wants everyone to do what he says. Well, yes, he does. But it's not to make him great. You can't make an infinite being any more powerful. It's to make us better. And it's to give everybody else a chance of going to heaven for the endless ages of eternity. Whether on earth or heaven, parents do not reward disobedient children for bad behavior. And if they do, the parents should be put over somebody's knee and their behind's hand as well. You chasten a child and you show them the error of their ways. Whenever those tiny little fingers keep reaching into the plug sockets, you smack them. Whenever they want to play with the knives and they refuse to stop trying to get the knife, you smack them. You chasten them. Or, in my case, you end up with cut fingers and you learn the lesson the hard way. Mommy, my finger's bleeding. Were you using my knives again? What do you say? You learn. Big cuts there, I've cuts there. Not paying attention with the lead, an electrical burn there. I taunted the cats too much and I have two scars where the claws got me. Will probably knows a bit about that. But I want for you to understand that this is across the board. The Lord speaking to Solomon, the wisest man, and the same rules still applied to him as applied to a few other people we're going to look at shortly. He said, trust me, do things my way, and I will bless you, and I'll tell you something else. You will need them all. Refuse or disobey, and I will chasten you. I know we love to hear when God answers prayers. We do. I love to hear, but was anybody here sad whenever they heard that Steve was getting better and was going to be let out of hospital? No. Even the doctors and nurses were amazed at him in the ICU. With people praying for him, he was intubated, which means he had an oxygen tube going down his neck, down his throat. I think he had an IV in his carotid artery. He had a couple of other IVs in the arms. He was catheterized. And he was sitting up in ICU asking for a remote to watch the TV. And they were amazed the way he bounced back. We were pleased the way he bounced back, but I'm sure not amazed because we have an amazing Savior. We love to hear about that. We love to hear about God providing houses and cars and snatching victory from the jaws of defeat. We love to hear about that. We love to hear about people's hearts being softened to the Scripture. And it's even great to hear about those from the likes of Adoniram Judson and D.H. Moody and Spurgeon and Mueller, the father of modern orphanages. It's wonderful to hear about those prayers. Is there anybody here doesn't like to hear about those things? We do. The thing that really tickles me even about Mueller, over in England just, 150, give or take, years ago, about how he had no food. Every single building, every brick, every child, every meal was there by faith. He had all of the children in the hall, and there was no food, and there was nothing for them to drink. And he just sat everybody down, and he cried out to the Lord, and he thanked the Lord for the food that they were about to eat. And no sooner had he stopped when there was a knock at the door, and the door bursts open, and the milkman comes in and says, "Mr. Mueller, the milk cart has shed away, and this milk is all going to be spoiled. Can you use it?" And shortly after that, it was all within eating times, the baker comes in and he says, "Mr. Mueller, the Lord got me up out of my bed early to bake you this bread today." And everybody had fresh bread and fresh milk. I love those. I even loved whenever George Mueller didn't walk away, but his time in the orphanage was over, and he would travel to America and places, and he would speak on the great things that God had done. And one time, I think he was either coming back home or he was heading into the States, and a tremendously thick fog settled on the ship. And he went to the captain and he asked him what was happening. And basically, cut a long story short, he said, "I'm going to pray the Lord will lift the fog." And the captain said, "I'll pray too." And George Mueller said, "Are you a saved man, captain?" And he said, "No." And he says, "Well, I think my prayer will be sufficient." The fog lifted and they got in. These are amazing. But George Mueller was just a man. And George Mueller is in eternity today. And God blessed George Mueller, not because he was called George Mueller, but because he obeyed. We don't see the furious paddling of the feet of the swan. We see the grace and the serenity of this majestic, I'm going to say goosenecked, but swan-necked creature gliding across the water. We don't see the lives of separation that these people lived. We don't see the faith that they had in God, in his way and no other way. We don't see the stopping, or the hours, maybe even the nights, the sleepless nights of prayer in God's presence, finding out God's thoughts. We don't see the self-discipline. We don't see, did I mention, the sacrifice, the service to the King of Kings, the putting away of self and the putting on of the new man. But without that, without making space in your life for God, regardless of who you are, you're selling yourself short in this life. And you'll never get to see or experience the amazing things that God will do for anybody. I want for you to know that it doesn't matter if you're the smartest or the richest. I have one verse that all of these people I'm about to mention have in common. The man Solomon that we were reading about today, he was the smartest man that ever lived, and the kingdom was so rich they didn't even bother counting silver. There was that much money about the place. And we've read about the second lot of the promises that God made to Solomon. But here is a verse that caps it all. 1 Kings chapter 11. "And Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David his father, and Rehoboam his son reigned in his stead. Every single thing that Solomon could lay his hands upon he left behind, and he had to stand in front of God." And I am sure God said, "Solomon, you were the smartest bloke that ever lived. Why did you depart from my teachings in your old age?" Well, God, in retrospect, it was the worst decision I ever made, but all of those women shouting at me and crying at me to come to church with me. I'm sorry, Lord. It doesn't even matter if you're the strongest. We know who we're talking about, Samson. Or the fastest, still Samson. Remember he caught those 300 foxes and tied their tails together and sent them through the crops and set them all on fire? Remember he took the lion that attacked him and the Bible says he tore him apart? Have you ever dismembered a turkey for Christmas? That's the way Samson took to the lion, the lion. Do you remember the 1,000 Philistines that came upon him and he got the jawbone of an ass and killed 1,000 men? We're still seeing that today in our political circles. Do you remember he ran and got up one night and ran out of the city and he put the gates of the city and the posts on his shoulders and ran away up the hill? Strongest and fastest. And in Judges 16 and verse 30, this is what Samson said. As a blind man, as a defeated man, let me die with the Philistines. He bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew in his death were more than they which he slew in his life. And he had to stand in front of God. God said, Samson, for all of that strength, for all of that speed, you literally should not be standing here in front of me right now. Samson's saying, oh Lord, just a man, I made mistakes. I let women be the downfall of my life. I'm seeing a theme here, actually, and I never noticed that earlier on. You don't even have to be the bravest. Who's the bravest? The bravest man in the Bible, or the bravest person in the Bible? David the giant killer, David the lion killer, David the bear killer, and he killed a lion and a bear with a little sword as a young fella. He didn't have super strength. But yet and all, 1 Kings chapter 2 records that David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. He stood in front of God. God said, David, a bit of a hiccup there, you know, about in your prime. And you let things slide a little bit and says, Lord, women again. I'm sorry about that, ladies. It's women that turned my head, Lord. This shows you the power that the opposite sex can have upon you. So keep your eyes upon the Lord. You don't even have to be the man with whom God gave us all of his commands. Remember Moses, the lawgiver? One of the first men recorded as speaking face to face with God apart from Adam and Eve. This is what the Bible records about Moses in Deuteronomy 34. But Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. And he had to stand in front of the Lord and say, Moses, what's the score? You could have been alive even today. You could have lived for another 100 years. Lord, I am sorry I let my temper get the better of me. But those, Lord, you have the patience of a saint, Lord. Those people just turned my head. Thought it was men and women. You don't have to even be the person with the most life experience. Remember Methuselah? If anyone remember how many years he lived? 969 years old he, and then he died. But of course, the name of Methuselah means when I die, judgment comes, and that's when the flood started. Can you imagine Noah attending the last days of Methuselah, just taking a break from loading up the ark with victuals and food, paying his respects, getting back to the ark, and then the rain starting to fall. You don't have to be any of these sorts of people. You don't have to be rich or strong or smart or fast. You don't have to be a whiz with the Lord's commandments. You don't have to be brave enough to stand in front of a tank in Tiananmen Square or to take on a wild animal with your bare hands. The Lord is not looking for your ability. The Lord is not looking for your physical attributes. He is just looking for your availability. He is just looking for your faithfulness. And those same promises that the Lord gave to those great names that are in the Bible, and those great names that we know. What was that, the name of that woman you were talking about yesterday, Christine?
Corrie
Ten Boom. I was thinking of Adam, Aaron Judson and Moody and all of those missionaries and people that are more contemporary to us and more. And the great things that those people did with their eyes upon the Lord, and they were nobody, and God blessed them. God will do that for you too. Now, a lot of people think that I can be saved, and there's a wee bit of a grey area, or there's a fence that sits between obedience and rejection, and it's a fence called not right now. And a lot of people think that they can live there. But you need to know in the book of Revelation, the Lord says, because you're lukewarm, I wish you were hot or cold, the Lord said, but because you're neither hot nor cold, I'm going to reject you. In other words, not right now starts with the word no. And it ends with the word no and a W on the end of it. And the Lord said, rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, which we know, but stubbornness as well is as iniquity and idolatry. I know it's difficult. And I know it's hard. But when God asks us to do something, we should do it. For all of the other things that we see and experience in the world, all of these things cry out against the teachings of God. But we're all human. And every single one of us someday is going to be like Moses and Samson and Solomon and David and Methuselah. And every single one of us someday is just going to stand in front of God. And God's just going to ask us the same questions he did to all of these other men and the women. What did you do? What's the score? For people that have shortened their lives, he's going to say, why are you even here? If you'd listened to me, you could be back on earth a bit longer. You could have preached another sermon. You could have handed out another gospel tract. But it'll only be the ordains that are looked at by God for the saved. For those that are not saved, it's a whole different story. Regardless of who we are, none of us can say to God, I'm not going to die. We just can't do that. What does the Bible say? There is a time appointed unto man wants to die, and after this the judgment. God knows the days. I think it says in the book of James as well, we're like the flower of the grass. The sun rises and the grass withers and the flower thereof faileth. We all will go, and we will all give a reason for what we have done. We are all temporary. We are all a fallen and a broken creature. And each one of us at one point in our lives was lost. And each and every one of us is such a great sinner that we need God Almighty, an omnipotent, infinite being, to pay for our sins. And we need to know that life is difficult enough just living in this world. That's forby being a Christian. And God comes saying, would you like some gravy with them spuds? Would you like a wee bit of ice cream to make things go a bit better? Would you like the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and all of the gifts that the Holy Spirit can give you? Would you like the ministrations of the angels and the attention of God Almighty and the intercession of Jesus Christ? Would you like the peace and comfort of letting the scriptures roll around in your head when your thoughts are troubled? I have these things to give, God says, and I will give them to anybody. Because regardless of who you are or what you've accomplished, you're still just a man. And we're going to need every single help that God has in His Word, and maybe a few others besides that He gives to you that maybe you don't even know about. But you need to know that God has plenty to give. He's not a miser. He's not stingy. He doesn't count the cost. He paid the cost. We're just men. But He is a great God. He is a loving, forgiving, kind, long-suffering God. And we should remember that. Years ago, my mother used to say to the children in primary five, whenever they were talking, this was back in the days before they had a careers class, the teacher would sometimes make a mention of things. He said, some of you are going to be brain surgeons. Some of you are going to be bin men. Just remember that a brain surgeon needs a bin man more times in life than a bin man needs a brain surgeon. And there was one, I think it was a Roman or a Greek philosopher, who was very smart and well-read, but well aware of his own shortcomings, and he hired a servant to walk a couple of steps behind him, so that for all his accomplishments, this servant would always say, remember, you're just a man. Remember, you're just a man. But remember also, there is a great God out there that wants to be your father, and your friend, and your big brother. We're stopping there. God bless you. Thank you for your good time. I'm just looking at the clock there, and if we hadn't started at 5:02, it would be 10 past or 1:15 now. How's that? Amen. Let's take our hymn books and turn to 301 in the big hymn books. 301, if you're able, we'll stand as we sing, by way of closing the hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer. 301.
Thank you.
hesitate to take in the effort to be out. There are many reasons to be not out in the church of a morning, but it's good to have you here. Let's close our eyes, bow our heads, and we'll be dismissed with a wee word of prayer. Well, would you dismiss us, please, for people of God?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, Lord, and thank you for the gift you give us, Lord. Thank you for the service, Lord, use it in our lives, Lord. Lord, give us our love and give us all good things from you, Lord. We appreciate, remember our health and our strength, Lord, and our homes and everything, good thing you give us. Most of all, we thank you for the blessed sacrifice of Jesus Christ, because you died for us, Lord, for adoption and to your family, Lord, for everlasting life, Lord. And we love you more every day that comes along, Lord. And we see thy son's witness and your son's preaching in the Bible, Lord, and the sacrifice on the cross, use it in our lives, Lord, and bless our lives, Lord. May we be more dedicated to you, Lord. Pray for people that are throughout the world for the services throughout this land, Lord. See us most mightily and powerfully, especially in weak and watery church services, Lord, of the blood and the cross and the service, Lord. May you save, unsaved ministers, Lord, unsaved people, Lord. May you save them and make them into firebrands for you, Lord. And see us most mightily and powerfully throughout this land, throughout this world, Lord. And bear us and keep us, Lord, as we go home to our homes and safety. And we also pray for the people who are listening to the service on the CD, Lord, or from the internet, Lord. Bless them also, may it be a blessing. And save souls that are listening as well, Lord. Pray for the tracks of our diet, save souls by the free those their tracks as well, Lord. And give us the strength and miracle to go out into the world and preach Christ and Christ crucified. And may your name be glorified and praised throughout this world and forevermore. Bless the case for Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Will. Folks, God bless you. We are dismissed.